Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
Scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter, the 30th through the 37th verses. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last, and the servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May we pray. It is our desire, O Lord, to be your disciple, someone who can learn. We want to learn. We want to be strong in what we are weak at, and we want to be weak in where we do not need to be strong. We pray, O Lord, that we might lean upon you, not our understanding, but yours, that we might be able to live our lives to bring honor and glory, not to ourselves, but to you, we pray. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. They're passing through Galilee. Of course, Galilee is a place where Jesus got a lot of support. And of course, if you're trying to get Jesus elected for a Messiah, then this would be a good place to settle down and bring everybody on your side. But of course, Jesus hasn't come to be the kind of Messiah that the disciples think he's going to be. They know what kind of Messiah that they are expecting, but Jesus knows what kind of Messiah he's going to be. I don't know about you, but there's been times when I have expected things to happen that haven't happened. And of course, I get disappointed when that happens. But then again, sometimes I have unrealistic expectations. And sometimes the disciples may do that. In the book of Mark, there are three groups that the writer wants us to pay attention to. One group is the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're the group that when we read, they're always against Jesus. Whatever Jesus is for, they are against. Whatever they're for, we know that Jesus is against. Then you've got the crowd. That's the second group that Mark wants us to pay attention to. Oftentimes, they are amazed at Jesus and what he does. But you know, amazement just doesn't get it. If you're inspired, that's one thing to do something. But if you're just amazed and that's as far as it gets, well, that doesn't have much inspiration to it at all. But the crowds are oftentimes more than not amazed at Jesus. And then you've got the disciples. That's the third group. And that's when Jesus comes to them and begins to teach them and tries to get them to understand what kind of Messiah he's going to be and what kind of disciple he's looking for and the kind of direction that he wants them to get at. And of course, as you and I know, they never get it. That's the other group that Mark wants us to see. He gives us these three groups because he wants you and me to say, well, what group will we side with? Will we be like the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Will we always be fighting with Jesus? Will we always try to be picking a fight with Jesus? Or will we be like the crowd? Will we always be amazed at what he can do, but it never gets really any further than that? Or will we be like the disciples? Will he teach us, and yet we just don't really get it? We just don't really get Jesus. Or will we be like some of the other people in the scriptures that we thought wouldn't get it, but did? Like the person who had those 15 demons in his life. Those demons that Jesus healed him from, that went into the pigs, where he, after he was healed, went and followed Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus, when Jesus heals his blindness, what happens to him? He goes and follows Jesus. This past week, I've been looking for illustrations, real illustrations that you and I experience in our day. And I look at them, look for them when I'm talking to you, when I'm out in the community. I look for illustrations that I can use, that I can use. And when I was at Memorial Hospital, I found one. I found one. Mary and I went to Memorial Hospital to visit. And of course, you know, you can get lost at Memorial Hospital. You can get lost at Erlanger as well. But you know, sometimes they'll have someone there who will take you. Of course, they gave us these directions. You know, in those little blue pieces of paper. Blue pieces of paper written in black. Whoever had diabetes did not write that. Let me tell you right now. Especially if you got eye problems. If you ever have something to write, please write it black on white. You can see that. If you got eye problems or if you don't, you can see that. But dark print on dark paper, just don't get it. That's sermon number one. Now we're going to sermon number two. Well, as we were trying to find our way, there was a maintenance guy there, and I guess we had lost on the foreheads, and he said to us, "Where are you going?" And Mary told him, and he began telling us where we were to go to find our place, and then he said, "I've got a better idea. Why don't you just follow me? Because it will be easier for you to follow me than for me to tell you how to get there." I thought, well, how about that? Easier for us to follow you than for you to tell us how to get there, because we might get lost along the way. And the book of Mark, following, is the most important thing. Not knowing, not getting it all, following. There's times when Jesus wants to teach you and me something, but sometimes we don't get it all. Sometimes we don't get it. But we don't stop following. We keep following. When I was in LJ, I was with a family whose patient was getting operated on for cancer. And when they opened her up, they closed her right back. They put her in a room. I was with the family. The surgeon came in and said, "I'm sorry, there's nothing else we can do." When he left, her niece looked at me and said to me, "Why would God allow such a good woman to go through something like this?" That's when I was so thankful I went to Candler's School of Theology. I'm glad I took pastoral care. Because if I hadn't been taught by people who had been there, I'm not sure what I would have said. I'd have probably said something stupid like I've said before. But when people ask you questions, and they're God questions, and only God can answer them, I've learned the best answer you can give them is in three words, and I want to share them with you, and I never want you to be ashamed or guilt-ridden to ever be able to say this to someone, because this is the honest, true answer. I looked at her and said, "I don't know. I don't know." A month or two later, she wrote me a thank you card and said, "Dear Pastor Randall, thank you for being with me and thank you for your answer." She said, "Because if you would have tried to explain it, I wouldn't have believed a word that you would have said." I can't answer for God. I don't know why God does a lot of things. God knows. I don't know. But I'm glad to know that I don't have to know everything God knows. There's some things that's mysterious. It's mysterious. I don't have to know. I don't have to pretend to know. Just because I stand up here in a black robe and a stole and the bishop has put his hands on my head and said, "Take thou authority," that doesn't mean I know anything. Just because I've been to Berry School, because I went to seminary, doesn't mean anything. My degrees means one thing. It don't mean I know anything. My degrees mean that I can learn. A lot of times it means I need to learn to be quiet. Listen more than you talk. That's what degrees teach us. That we are teachable. That's what a disciple is. Someone who can learn. But then if you can learn, you've got to be acceptable. You've got to be open to what people want to teach you. And Jesus was trying to teach the disciples what kind of Messiah he had come to be. And he was letting them know that through his time here, he was going to be betrayed. That means people were going to leave him, including themselves, but they weren't really sure about that. That hadn't happened yet. And that there were going to be some who the way that they solve problems is to get rid of people. To kill them. To destroy them. To get rid of them. You know, sometimes you and I think that the best way of getting rid of our problems is just to get rid of them, eradicate them. Get rid of them. Of course, when it's cancer, yes. When it's diabetes, yes. When it's disease and all of that, yes. But when it's people, well, when Jesus comes to die for the whole world, I'm not sure about that. Jesus comes to redeem, not to destroy. He comes to heal, not to kill. And yet, Jesus is getting ready to be handed by his Father, over to those people who want to kill him. God's going to say, here he is, take him. I give him to you. And they're going to kill him. But he said to them, after 3 days, I will rise again. They're on the way to Jerusalem. And while they're back there, after Jesus teaches them about this, they're back there talking about who amongst them is the greatest. Because they believe that when Jesus becomes the Messiah, as a result of them being with him so long, he's going to give them some highfalutin positions. And they all sort of wonder just where they're going to let them be. I don't know about you, but I have worked with people in high positions. But a lot of times I want to stay away from them. I don't want the bishop to know my name. If I could, I'd change my name every day. What's your name? John Brown. My superintendent. I want my superintendent to know my name. I don't want him to know me. I don't want him to think about me. I want to be right here at Lafayette First, working in Walker County, doing what I do best. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Some people like to be up there with a high echelon. They're good at it. They're good at it. They know how to deal with it. Not everybody knows how to deal with it. The disciples want a place, but they want it for the wrong reason. That's why in the Methodist Church, if you're a preacher and you want to be a DS, you'll never be one. You know why? You got an agenda. You got an agenda. You want to be a bishop? You tell everybody you want to be a bishop? You may not be a bishop. You know why? You got an agenda. You got an agenda. Oftentimes, those people who become bishops and superintendents, nobody's heard of them. They say, well, who is he? Well, he's usually someone who keeps quiet and who does their job. Sometimes that's who gets it and who deserves it and who does well at it. But here you have some disciples who are in there for Jesus because of what they're going to get. Do you and I serve Jesus because of what we're going to get? Or do you and I serve Jesus because we love him? Do you and I serve Jesus because we want him to receive all the honor and glory in our life? If we do something good, we say praise the Lord. We don't say praise ourselves. We serve the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, not the me, myself, and I. We don't want to be first, we'll be last. We want to be servants. If we serve and somebody else gets the glory, hallelujah, however be it. As long as the person in need gets what they need, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. I will remember when we were sending water down to Florida. And we used a trucking company who took the water to a Southern Baptist warehouse. I got a call. What are you doing sending water to the Southern Baptist warehouse? I went, Lord, have mercy on my Lord. What do you mean? There's thirsty people in Florida. Does it matter where it goes? Methodist water tastes like Baptist water. Roman Catholic water tastes like Lutheran water. And the thirst is the same. Does it matter? For some it does. That's why, brothers and sisters, today We have people who won't say that they're Christian because of the history and what all that means. They more or less say they are followers of Jesus Christ. They don't want a name tagged to themselves because of the history that goes with it. Today I ask you and myself, how is our discipleship going? Are we learning to be servants? Are we learning that it doesn't matter who gets the credit? It doesn't matter who gets to stand on the hill and crow? It doesn't matter if we do the work and somebody else gets the credit? It doesn't matter. Because let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. There is someone who knows who does what you and I do. There's a lot of people that you and I help that nobody knows that we help, and we won't know anybody that wants to know. You and I are oftentimes people, we don't want people to know. We'll do things, and the last time our name is mentioned, the better. Our understanding is to do good works amongst people so that God may receive the honor and the glory, not so that they will say how good you and I are. Amen. That's not it. You and I aren't the focus. Jesus is the focus. That's who you and I are. We are servants. That's a discipleship. That's what it means to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Whatever we have to do for the Lord, it may be to our demise, it may be to His glory, but either way, we're in it to win it, if you hear what I'm saying. Amen. We're in it to win it. We're in it because we want Him to win it. We want Him to be honored and glorified. We don't want any of it. We want it all to go with Him. In the book of Revelation, it is said that you and I will be given a crown of life. A crown of life. Can you imagine all of us wearing those crowns? You look good in a crown. You look good in a crown. You look good in a crown. But in the book of Revelation, we best not get used to it. Because in the book of Revelation, it says that we will take our crowns. Are you ready for this? And we will cast them at the feet of the one who is the life. Amen. Who is Jesus. Amen. So brothers and sisters, if you and I are excited about getting our rewards when we go to heaven, let me tell you the only reward I want, I don't know what reward you want, but there's only one I want. And His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. I don't want a crown. I don't want a robe. I don't want a mansion. I don't want streets of gold. I don't want pearls of gates. I don't want anything. There's only one thing I want, and that is Jesus. There is nothing else that I want. There's nothing else that I live for except for Him. Because anything else is disappointing. Anything else doesn't shine as bright. But Jesus shines brighter. May we pray. Almighty God, we come to this place to say that we are Yours, O Lord. And we pray that we have heard Your voice this morning. And we have heard that You love us. And it is our desire, O Lord, to rise in Your arms of faith and be closer drawn to You. May that happen not only today and tomorrow, but now and forever we ask it. Amen.
May the Lord go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you to lift you from your sorrows, within you to give you the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and always before you, to show you the way. Amen.